And properly so.
The saved and the unsaved. Okay? Usually that's how we think of it. But God looks down on humanity and says, no, 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 no. There's four different kinds of men. And we read about them in here in the scriptures. There is the spiritual man. There is the natural man. And then there are two who are called the carnal man. Why are there is there a division in the carnal man? Because they're carnal for two different reasons. And we're going to go over that. Now, I hope that I don't chase you out of the sanctuary. But you're probably going to see yourself today as you hear the preaching of the Word of God. I can't go anywhere, but God finds me out through the preaching of His Word. So I don't feel sorry for you. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for this time. Now, Lord, I like to joke. I like to hear people laugh. But what we're going to be talking about today is no laughing matter. Because you want us to be fully spiritual individuals. And Lord, that's not an easy thing because we're still tied down in this body with the Adamic nature. But Father God, we have the responsibility to seek to be holy as you are holy, to live lives of righteousness as you adorn righteousness. So, Father God, please help me with my voice today. Please help me with the selection of words. Lord, I would like to really believe that when I'm done preaching, that it will have been the Holy Spirit who was giving these words, not Ken Lear. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters, help their minds to concentrate on the Word and grow in the knowledge of the Lord. I pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Let's begin with the spiritual man. The spiritual man is not just the born again man. That's what many might think. Oh, I'm born again, I'm spiritual. No, the spiritual man, if you want to be totally honest, seeks out the Lord diligently, yields to the Lord unreservedly. The spiritual man is growing in his new creation as a new creature in Christ. Actually, a couple of years ago, I woke up to myself and said, I don't know if I'm growing. Oh, I have lots of knowledge, and that's what concerns me. Am I just giving off knowledge, or am I really living for the Lord? The spiritual man is much more. The spiritual man prays the words of Psalm 119, 130. I'll repeat that if you want to look at it later. Psalms 119, 130, and these are the words, order my steps. I don't want to be in control of myself. I want you to be in control of me. The spiritual man has at some point in his life, now I keep saying spiritual man, you understand the word man includes male and female. You do understand that. The rest of the world hasn't got that yet. They didn't get the memo. But I hope that you do. The spiritual man has dedicated his, her life to the Lord. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable, some interpret it, spiritual service. Now, that whole thing, present yourself to the body of Christ, in the Greek, it's a one-time thing. Many times we think that it's an over and over and over dedication. No, no, no. An animal only was dedicated for a sacrifice once. You give your body to the Lord once. Oh, now you may refresh it. You know, there's a refreshing all the time. But it's a one-time act. Have you given yourself to the Lord as a born-again saint? The spiritual man, woman, takes time to study the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. The spiritual man knows that he is a priest of the Lord. He can do his own praying. He can study the Word of God himself. Now, everybody needs aids, okay, to help them. All us pastors have commentaries and Bible studies, grammars and dictionaries and so on to help us to fully understand the Word of God. But the idea is we can study the Word of God and we can grow by it. I heard one pastor describe a congregation. Many of them go to church and they say, "Here I am, Pastor. Tell me what I believe." No, 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 no. You're a priest of God. You can study the Word of God for yourself. Okay, I don't belabor it too long. Let's go on to the natural man. And the natural man is just how it sounds. A natural individual. An individual who came forth from their mother and nothing else ever happened. They think the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, the Bible is the Word of God. They think it's all foolishness. They run to their science and they find so much evidence that the Bible is not the Word of God, so on and so forth. Nothing ever happened in their life. I'm not a natural man. I trust you're not a natural man or woman. I had a day when I was at Christ Church in Poughkeepsie, Pennsylvania, along the Ridge Road. And I had been attending vacation Bible schools over and over and over. We were always faithful in Sunday school. But it was that Sunday that the Holy Spirit of God decided to speak to me. The pastor, I think, was talking about David and Goliath. Don't ask me how you get the gospel out of David and Goliath. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I said, "Lord, I don't know if I ever asked you to be my Savior before. But I ask you to be my Savior today." Sorry, I didn't see that one coming. I received Jesus. I am trusting Jesus. I still have the sinful Adamic nature. Okay? But Jesus has saved me. And he's making me a new creature in Christ. Now, some might say, you know, why doesn't God just change everybody? I actually read one section which said, why didn't God just allow Adam and Eve to say, "I'm sorry," and forget the whole thing? He is the Most High God, and they sinned against him. You don't just say, I'm sorry. Some will even say, well, the Lord hardens the hearts of the sinners. Pastor had in his notes on the sermon a couple of weeks ago, Zechariah chapter 7, verse 12. I don't know if you looked it up that day, but I looked it up. Will you please turn there at this time? Zechariah. Now that's just in front of Malachi, which is just in front of Matthew, the New Testament. I want you to see this. reading it, Zechariah chapter 7, verse 12. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. I don't know what an adamant stone, well, I didn't, was, so I looked it up on the internet. It's a very hard stone. Now, they had another suggestion. I'm thinking diamond. People, unbelievers, harden their hearts against the Lord. Go over to Romans chapter 1, and what has the Lord allowed these natural men to do? Just continue growing hard in their lives. That's just the way they are going to go. Pastor, by the way, I hope you take notice that I always in public try to refer to him as pastor. Okay? We're friends aside, but he's pastor. Okay? And is due that respect verbally. Going on. I lost my train of thought a little bit there. Oh, he brought out in his sermon about children and how when you try to correct them, they dig their heels in a little bit more. Working in the public school, oh yeah, they sure dig their heels in. Monday, I was going to try to control that little terror from running out of the classroom. So just after lunch, and she's only going to be dismissed in about 25 more minutes, I sat at the door to prevent her from running out. Well, she got angry because she couldn't run out the door. She started to throw books and book boxes and trash cans and so on all over the place. She dug her heels in. You know, I wish I could say that only children do that. We should be yielding to the Lord. And that's the natural man, because they dug their way into their hardness. Pray, pray, pray that the Lord will woo them out of the hardness of their heart. Now, most Christians fall in the next two categories. The carnal man. The outline for my message, I think you have a half sheet of paper that gives it. We have the description of carnality. We've got the danger of carnality. And we've got the destruction of carnality. As I said I want you to turn to Romans chapter 7, verse 14. Paul made an astounding statement. Now, first of all, let me say to you that there are born-again Christians, and they study the scriptures, and they have come to the opinion that there's no such thing as carnal Christians. Okay? The word carnal means fleshy. Okay? They live by the flesh. But the main thing to keep in mind right now, they say there's no carnal Christians. Now, Romans chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual. Boy, how often have you heard preachers kick around the law? Boy, that's an abomination. It's not an abomination. The psalmist said, oh, how I love thy law. It's a guideline. Hopefully it's going to help people to see their need for a Savior. Okay? It's spiritual. Mostly in the Old Testament time. The dispensation of the law. Not for the now. Paul said, but I am carnal. Do you see that word? That means that Paul's saying, I am of the flesh. Okay? I'm still trapped in this flesh. And we all understand that. The next verse explains it, and we've all been there. Verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. I don't want to do those things, okay? I've got some standards about me. And yet, for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. You get the idea. I don't want to do those certain things. I end up finding myself in there, okay? I want to do this, whatever it might be, the spiritual thing. I have a tough time doing that, finding the reason. There is carnality. There are people who, Christians, who are stuck in carnality. They cater to the flesh. And nobody has really approached them with the Word of God to challenge them about it. Now, why are people carnal? The first reason is found in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And I will tell you what the reason is. It's because they are not studying the Word of God. Because they are not reading the Word of God. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk. Milk's pretty good, isn't it? I still have milk, don't you? Do you eat, drink milk in the morning, milk in noontime, milk in the evening as too? Huh? Always milk? I want to have that simple stuff. No. Do you see that commercial on TV about Gerber's? You got this 50-year-old man with a spoon. You don't eat baby food still. Nobody does. If there was a person who was constantly on baby food, that person has a... Now, maybe there is a person that only has baby food. That is a person with a great illness, a great problem. Paul said, I wanted to give you meat. I'm paraphrasing. But all I could give to you is just milk. I have fed you with milk, verse 2, and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. If you don't get into the deep things of the Word of God, if you try to shy away from them, you're not feeding your spirit. You're not feeding your soul. You got to get into those tough parts, okay? I'm going to be teaching Revelation in the training program. And I know what people say. I preached on Revelation in the last church where I was a pastor, okay? And almost immediately after I was done with Revelation, I had one of the trustees say, well, you know, Revelation's really hard to understand. I don't know why people occupy their time with it. You read Revelation chapter 1, I think it's verse 3, God pronounces a blessing upon the one who hears the words of Revelation, as well as reads the revelations. Yeah, there's a lot of figurative language in there, and we're probably not ever going to understand all the details of Revelation, but there is a lot in Revelation that we can understand, and we ought to read it. I don't know if you know the words of Mark Twain, but of the Bible, Mark Twain stated, it ain't the things of the Bible that I don't understand that bothers me. It's the things that I do understand. Mark Twain talked his wife into marrying him, saying that he would go to church if she would marry him. That lasted maybe 3 weeks. Later on, they were on a ship to Europe, and they were in a storm, And he called to his wife and said, "Pray for us that we'll be delivered." And she said, "Sorry, Samuel, you've even knocked out of me the faith to pray." He was one sad man, as satirical as he was. Well, you got the lesson. We need to study the Bible, okay? Here's some reasons why Christians say that they won't read the Bible. I can't understand the teaching. Too many of those these and thous. Those these and thous and yees, you know, they're very simple to understand. Well, I have troubles with all those S's and so on. You just put an S on the end of the word. You can understand it. Another thing, saints do not want to take the time to study the Bible. Study of the Bible takes time. Okay? I hope you got some good commentaries. Be careful about the commentaries that are recently printed. They want to please society. I want what the Word of God has to say out of it. It takes a dictionary, a map, okay, of the Scriptures. But dig into it. Now, if you have an NIV and you're comfortable with the NIV, okay, I'm not. Okay, the NIV was translated for eighth grade reader. That's all. It doesn't want to go too far, too extensively. That's been a documented fact. Okay, saints are purposefully avoiding the preaching of the Word of God. First, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Please turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. How I wish these words were not true, but they are. They're happening right now. For the time will come, no, the time is here, when they will not endure sound doctrine. I've been blasted by my own family because I hold to doctrine too much. I was told by one of my relatives who attends the church that I grew up in as a teenager, and that one said, "Well, I'm so glad I attend a church that doesn't have doctrine." Doctrine means teaching. What did that individual just say? "I attend a church that has no teaching." That's a waste of time, okay? They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They tickle my ears. Oh, it feels so good. I like listening to that one. I have listened, I'll name him Jimmy Swagger, way back. Okay, I listened to him on the radio, and this is what I discovered. He'd give two words of truth and one word of untruth. So what do you have in the end? Untruth. Okay? We need to study the Word of God. I got to move on to the second carnal person. The second carnal person lives after the flesh. Take a look at verse 3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Going back to the other carnal man, starving themselves because they are not in the Word of God. Later on, pastor's going to be speaking to us about the sower and the seed. And one of the seeds will fall into the rocky place. And it sprouts up real fast. But then what happens? It dies. Now, the scripture says because it withers by the heat of the sun. but it's also not getting the nutrition. The roots can only go down so far, and then it's blocked, and it cannot grow. Well, also, the next seed grows in an area where there's nothing but thorns, weeds, okay? And the weeds grow up, and they block out the sun. At our house, we like to have portulacas, and we like them growing underneath of our fence that we have. I foolishly allowed two morning glories to grow. A morning glory dominates everything, grows over top of those portulacas, and stifles them, kills them, okay? And as I said to my wife, I'm never going to let another morning glory grow in that front yard. And that's any plant that dominates. And we got to be careful of what dominates in our lifestyle. When I was a youth pastor in York, Pennsylvania, North Hills Bible Church, North Hills Road is the first road that you come to when you're going into York, and it's the last road that you come to as you're leaving York, okay? Long Route 30. I was a youth pastor there. And one Sunday, this one family walked into the back. Never saw them before. So I asked some questions. Oh, yeah. That man, he was the best Sunday school teacher that we had in this church. Well, the best Sunday school teacher we've ever had. Well, how come I don't see him in the church services? Well, his daddy died and left behind the chicken houses. And he's become rich. And ever since he's become rich, he has no time to come to church. They just stopped. I know you may not appreciate a story like that, but that's real life. You can name names of people that you know of who've done the same thing. A really sad, sad situation. When I was a youth pastor there, I went to visit one of the youth. I was talking to the whole family in the living room, and the parents step out for some reason. The girl, about 15 years of age, looked at me and said, "I received Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was real young. Is there any way of getting out of this?" She was talking about, can I throw away my salvation? She went on to tell me that she just loved to go dancing. And I warned her about the dance, okay? Oh, you might say, Ken, that was just a teenage thing. You know, she didn't really mean it. She has a son as old as our son today. At 15 years of age, she became pregnant. You start creeping into the flesh, and you have no idea how much further it will go. As Pastor has said, sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will take you deeper than you intend to go. Let's talk about the dangers of cardinality. I have two, and I'll try to speed it up right now. We take in your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 7. No, I'm sorry, Romans chapter 8. Now, this is why there are, verse 6, this is why some of the saints say that there's no such thing as a cardinal Christian, okay? It says in verse 6, Romans 8, 6, "For to be carnally minded is death." Well, There can't be any carnal Christians because there's death there. I will tell you that in the spiritual life, there's more than one kind of death. You can have eternal life. You can be a born-again Christian and still not be living. Not be living the abundant life that Jesus promised in John 10:10. One who is living in a fleshly life may find it hard to go to prayer because they've just participated in a sin and they're ashamed to go to the most holy God. One who is carnal, fleshly, could be dead because they on purpose stay away from the Word of God. I don't want to know what the Word of God has to say to me. They're living, yes, they're born again, and they probably will go to heaven because they have received Christ as Savior, but they're not growing. They're not fully becoming what the Lord Jesus Christ wants them to be. I believe that Roxanne and I have actually witnessed that in our family. We invited one of our relatives to come to church. And lo and behold, for the first time, they accepted the invitation and came to church. During the sermon, the pastor gave an invitation. Then later, the pastor told Roxanne that this one had raised their hand. Roxanne was confused. I thought she had made that decision years ago. So at Thanksgiving, we went to their house, and Roxanne brought it up to her. Now listen to her words. "Yes, I received Jesus as my Savior when I was younger, but the way I live now doesn't show evidence that I'm a born-again Christian." That's what I'm talking about when I say carnality in a saint can bring death. By the way, I forgot to prove something earlier. I hate when somebody is speaking, they back up, and I'm doing it right now. Okay, I told you that there are carnal Christians. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Pastor, I know, has already pointed this out. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, he's writing unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. Sanctified means set apart unto holiness. These are saints, reading on, sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And yet, even though he is using words that looks like they are spiritual people over in chapter 3, he's calling them carnal. Yes, there are carnal Christians, Christians who are wrapped up in the flesh. Now, not only does it bring death, but carnality creates an adverse relationship between the individual and the Lord. Back to Romans. Chapter 8, verse 7. You didn't know you were going to get an exercise in the Word of God today, did you? Well, it's actually a test for you. See if you've been in the Word of God, okay? If you know where the book of Romans is, the book of Psalms is, okay? The book of Hezekiah. Have you been in the book of Hezekiah? Hezekiah 25:9 is very, very good. You have to look it up. Oh, I can't trick you. You are actually spiritual people. There is no book of Hezekiah. There's a king Hezekiah. Hey, I have gotten Christians in the past. Yeah, they're there looking around. You could at least memorize the books of the Bible, if nothing else. Okay, back to seriousness. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is, what's that word? Enemy? Anyhow, what does it really mean? Enemies. The carnal mind is an enemy to God. We should. One of the ways that we know that we are not carnal is that we don't fall to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. We know that we're not carnal when we have decided that we will serve only God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. It's not possible. There should be one master in your life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Are there illustrations in the Bible of people who said that they were going to follow the Lord, and yet they didn't? I'm glad you asked. Okay? Ananias and Sapphira. We're going to sell property and give the whole thing to the Lord. And they didn't. Simon, the sorcerer, in Acts chapter 8. Okay? Hey, I want to be able to lay hands on people and have them to be filled with the Spirit also. Here, I'll give you money so I can have that power. Power, power, power. That's all I'm... Peter said, you can rot with your money. No, you're not real, no matter what you have said. Demas, a co-worker with the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, and Philemon 1:24. And yet, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, he built up a love for the world and went to Thessalonica and squandered the rest of his life there. Unfortunately, Christians do walk away from the Lord. I could tell you horror story after horror story. I will. I will tell you one. When I was a teenager, our youth leader, not a pastor, this was just a regular family, had one son, okay? And I watched this young man grow up, and he eventually became an elder in the church. He even went to a Bible school just close by. And then left his family, went and married a girlfriend, and claimed himself an atheist. Yes, it happens. And it's a shocker and it's a disappointment. And you might not want to hear a story like that. But it's reality. And what does the Christian have to do? Stay steadfast with the Lord. Now, the third point. Destruction of carnality. If you see your life and you know you're a carnal Christian, you can destroy it. You are able to destroy it. And here's how. What is a Christian supposed to do? Read the Bible, pray, testify of the Lord Jesus Christ, fellowship with one another, tell everybody they can about the Lord. Oh, Ken, you're such a disappointment. I thought that you were going to come up with something new. Well, we've heard those things over and over and over. Are you practicing them? Since the pandemic, a lot of people are no longer coming to church. They're watching the church services on television. They're doing themselves a disfavor, and don't let them get away with it. Tell them. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, 25. Look it up. You got to have these scriptures when you talk to such an individual. Hebrews 10. You already know it. I know you do. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What's one thing that you get at church service you don't get watching television? Fellowship. Fellowship. We need to have each other's exhortation. Okay? And that's one way of destroying carnality. Go out and look for somebody to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. You go out, look for somebody to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't have time for the television. You don't have time to make an extra large meal. Okay? That's only going to make you heavier. Yeah, you don't have time to be on the phone like my grandmother was gossiping. She gossiped in Pennsylvania Dutch, but she was gossiping. Okay? Yeah, you don't have time for all that fleshly stuff. When you go out to look for somebody to receive Christ as Savior. When I was teaching a CEF club, we were supporting one missionary over in Europe, and she wrote and she said, every day I go out and look for a child that I can witness to about the Lord. And then I write about it. It's got a standard. Don't be afraid to carve out some time to study the Bible, as I've already been over. Bible study does take time. Pastor spends hours and hours studying the Bible. I know it. I can tell it. He comes up with things that I didn't notice myself. Okay? And that's the way it should be. But I got to tell you, every once in a while, I pull them to the side and here's something that you didn't see. Iron sharpeneth iron. Friend can sharpen the countenance of a friend with the word of God. Okay? Study the Bible. Witness. Spend time in prayer. Now, I'm talking to myself about this privately, but I feel guilty if I spend only 5 minutes in prayer. There is so much more to do. I feel I've got to spend time in prayer. When you're spending time on your knees in prayer, you're not satisfying the flesh. And I am saying, by doing those things you've heard over and over, if you're rusty on it, try to polish it up. Get a little bit better with it. And I trust, I believe, carnality in your life and carnality in my life will be greatly diminished. Not necessarily eliminated, but greatly diminished. And that's our goal. Father God, thank you for an opportunity to proclaim the word of God. Thank you for giving me enough voice. Father, I'll come back to what I said at the very beginning. Lord, how I hope that I did not say my own words. How I trust that the words that were spoken were your words. And Lord, you will help each one of us, your saints, that we will live for you and grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. I pray this in your Son's name. Amen.